I'm Heston McBride with McBride Ranch in Lampasas, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
It's been a rough go for dairy producers in recent months, but here in Texas, things look encouraging going forward. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Safety precautions people need to be taking when checking on livestock in the Texas Panhandle wildfires. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Several lawmakers traveled to the Texas Panhandle this week to see the devastation left behind by wildfires firsthand. We'll have that report coming up.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Jessica Domel.
Hello, Texas, and welcome back to another exciting edition of Texas Ag Today. Whether you're listening to us from your tractor cab, a tractor trailer, the front seat of a pickup truck, or your office, we've got the latest news in Texas agriculture just for you. So buckle up, it's time to explore the news from the Lone Star State. Although crews are making progress, wildfires continue to take their toll on farmers, ranchers, and communities in the Texas Panhandle. TFB's Kerry Martin has that story.
We now go to Pat McDowell. He is a farmer and rancher in the Texas Panhandle. Pat is also a county judge for Wheeler County. Pat, wanted to see if you could give me an update on the latest happening up there with the fires and the aftermath, the recovery, all of the things that are going on right now dealing with the situation.
The fires are still reported as, you know, 15-30% contained. And the definition of containment is they don't have every little hot spot within the boundary put out. So that's, as far as we know right now, the fire's out. All the firefighters are at home except for all of the wonderful state volunteers. There's supposedly 300 and some odd volunteer firefighters and paid fire departments from around the state that are up here doing the mopping up operations. But the major fire is over, but I mean, there's still always a chance for an ember, a wind change, you know, to start the thing back up. And, you know, but it's pretty much out. The volunteers, I mean, there's some tremendous stories coming from the volunteer firefighters and the county road hands on the size of the fire, the scope of it, the intensity of it. The amazing thing is, gosh, the volunteers from across the state of Texas, we have loads of hay, feed, water, medical supplies for the animals. It's just been heartwarming to see all of the stuff that is coming up here to help the ranchers in this part of the world.
Pat, understood you just heard from the governor. Tell me about what he had to say in response to all of this.
Yes, the governor was just in Canadian, Texas, and did a press conference and listened to the county judges and all the local officials of the largest wildfire in Texas history. He was very receptive to it, and he has offered every state agency's assistance. And those state agencies have been up here, you know, since day two, and it's really been good. The Department of Emergency Management's kind of taken over the big part of it, and they're helping all the firefighters, and, you know, a lot of it's paperwork now, and to try to get some reimbursement from the feds and some of the state agencies. But this is not going to reach a FEMA level disaster. It's basically going to be private donations, faith-based charities that are, you know, going to help these, whatever the exact number is, 70 or 80 homeowners, 100 homeowners that have lost their house. The thing for our Farm Bureau Radio Network friends, we're still needing hay up here. We still need some cow cake, and then fencing supplies is going to be the big deal. A lot of this fencing stuff can maybe be helped under the EQIP program, but to do that, it has to be, you know, certain quality wire, certain quality post, that type of thing. And the request is, yeah, we send us a load of T-posts, that's great, but we really need financial stuff that we can you know, give money out to these ranchers and they can buy the stuff that will help them get more of EQIP assisted reimbursements on that.
Pat, I know it's early, but any idea of cattle losses? I've heard numbers kind of all over the place, but what are you hearing up there as the early assessments get underway?
Visiting with some of my acquaintances and friends in Roberts and Hemphill counties, one very large ranch, they lost really very, very few cattle because they'd had a fire come through their property about Thanksgiving, and there was still a burnout strip, and they thank the good Lord just put those cattle on that burned out part and saved their lives, so they lost very little. Another rancher up here, 125 head in one pasture, and there is reports of one family in the Canadian area that lost 700 cows. So yeah, I mean, that's it's terrible. It really is. Total number, I don't know. But you got to remember, ranchers are pretty private and they don't want help and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to keep things close to the vest. So that's just our nature.
Pat, thanks for the update.
You betcha.
That is Pat McDowell. He's a farmer and rancher in Shamrock, Texas. He's also county judge for Wheeler County. I'm Kerry Martin on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Texas is not the only state in the nation seeing declining dairy production. James Hunt joins us with that story.
Going back to the middle of last year, declining milk production has been the trend for Texas, with USDA's most recent report showing a 3.9% drop for January. But at this week's High Plains Dairy Conference in Amarillo, Darren Turley of the Texas Association of Dairymen told me Texas is not alone.
That's kind of the conditions of the nation in general. We're all seeing that, and it's kind of some of the tightening of economics that we're having in the dairy industry. Texas is fortunate with some new plants coming online, so we're probably going to be able to rebound or maybe not even get quite as bad a shape as some of the others. If it hadn't been for the drought, I think Texas would have fared the last couple of years pretty well. But the new plant, Big Leprino plant that's opening up in Lubbock, is going to be a big expansion in the Texas market, so we're going to have a lot more sales in the future than we've had in the past.
But while the Leprino plant Turley mentioned is among the reasons to be enthusiastic about where the Texas dairy industry is headed, there's still a tough situation to work through.
Profitability has been pretty hard the last 2 years. Pricing is set federally, and that has not been that great overall. It's just the term of time, and that added to that drought situation has made that very hard. We're very hopeful this year that we will see things kind of continue to improve. We're not as bad as we were then. We're not near where we need to be as far as pricing currently in this first quarter, but the expectations are we're going to see it continue to increase throughout the year. And so it may take the latter part of the year, but we should start seeing maybe some better prices then. And we still pray for these wet conditions we've had over the winter to continue in the spring, so we have a cheap food supply for our cows. We need to grow some feed.
More from Darren Turley in our next report. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Experts say as farmers, ranchers, and others begin to sift through the aftermath of the record-breaking wildfires in the Panhandle, they should use caution. Tom Nicoletti has that story.
So far, more than 1 million acres, equal to 200 square miles, have burned in the Texas Panhandle wildfires. The Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund, set up by the Texas Farm Bureau, is collecting and distributing monetary contributions only, with 100% of all donations going directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by the fires. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to make a contribution. Meanwhile, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension is also highly involved in the wildfire situation. Brian Davis is Area Chief for the South Region Disaster Assessment and Recovery Unit.
On a lot of those agriculture losses, I think as they go in there, be aware of the ash from this much fire and smoke. If they have livestock as they return and they're also alive, make sure that they're looking at them, quarantine them, look for respiratory problems, look at their feet, their ears, look around their extremities, make sure that if they need to get a veterinarian in there, call their local vets. Also right now, the Texas A&M veterinarian response team is up there and they can reach out to those individuals. They're in Canadian, but know that there is help there. if they're looking at ash on some of those outbuildings or on some of that equipment, trailers, go in there and be very cautious because some of that ash could be toxic. Make sure that they have proper PPE equipment on as they clean that up. If it's ash from our native brush and plants, that's not to be worried about. But if it's ash coming from buildings or other sources, burned up equipment, then that can have a toxic component to it. So they just need to be very cautious.
That is Brian Davis with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas visited the area impacted by wildfires this week. He joins us with more.
Well, I have to say it is really horrific what is happening in the panhandle. We've got right now over 1.2 million acres of active fire burning, and it is the largest fire in Texas history. It is the second largest fire in American history, and the acreage that is currently on fire is larger than the state of Rhode Island. And I will tell you, I went and visited Fritch, which is a small community in the panhandle. Fritch has about 1,800 population. And just right there, they had lost 242 homes. And so it was devastating. And I met with local officials, with mayors and county judges and firefighters and first responders. And I will tell you, one of the people I met with on Monday was the fire chief in Fritch, Zeb Smith, who's a terrific guy. And he was leading the efforts there fighting the fires. Tragically, Chief Smith lost his life fighting the fire. And so I was with him the day before he died. Three people have lost their lives to date in the fires. There had been devastating damage to homes. There'd been devastating damage to livestock. You know, I'll tell you, another friend of mine who lives up in Canadian in the panhandle, I texted her and said, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you doing? How are the fires impacting you? And she came back and said, well, not too well. She said, my home burned down and my barn burned down. And she said, I lost half my cattle. But she said at the same time, she said, look, I'm actually feeling pretty lucky. She said, the ranches on both sides of me, they lost all their cattle. So the devastation is enormous.
That was U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced technical and financial assistance to help farmers and livestock producers in Texas recover from recent wildfires. Producers impacted by the wildfires are encouraged to contact a USDA service center to report losses and learn more about the program options available to them. There's a new medical device to treat arthritis in horses. Texas veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd will have that story coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
In Texas, there's pea-sized hail and baseball-sized hail. Guess which one hit our house? We didn't even know where to begin, but we called our Texas Farm Bureau insurance agent, and he was so reassuring. He knew exactly what to do to get our house back into shape and our lives back to normal. Now, we're even more thankful for the roof over our heads.
Visit Texas Farm Bureau Insurance today at tfbinsurance.com to insure your home for Texas-sized weather. Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Keeping Texas farmers and ranchers informed for over two decades, this is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
There is a new treatment for arthritis in horses. Here's Texas veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd.
Dr. Isaiah Tenabar from Saudi Arabia has researched another option for treating arthritis. He indicates in the horse publication that he has researched 2.5% polyacrylamide hydrogel, also called PAAG. This product is a medical device that has received product authorization from the Food and Drug Administration in 2020 for the treatment of arthritis in horses. The product is non-toxic and non-immunogenic, meaning it does not produce an immune response. Compared to non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, corticosteroid anti-inflammatories, and biological therapies like autologous conditioned serum, or ACS, PAAG has a completely different mechanism of action. The drug integrates into the synovial membrane, increases joint capsule elasticity, and provides long-lasting viscosupplementation, which is increasing hyaluronic acid in the joint. Dr. Stacy Oak indicated in a Horse publication that Dr. Tinnabar reviewed multiple studies on the product, and one study of 43 horses indicated that 82% of the horses were free of lameness for 2 years. Another study involved 12 horses with lameness in the coffin joint that had been treated with corticosteroids, hyaluronic acid, and ACS. 6 months after the PAAG treatment, 8 of the 12 horses were free from lameness. Another study used PAAG to treat 18 sport horses that were non-responsive to other treatments for coffin joint arthritis, and 12 of the horses returned to full function. The results of these and other studies indicated PAAG is statistically superior to other treatments, with therapeutic effects persisting up to 12 weeks. The effects of the drug last up to 2 years in some horses, with a very low rate of complications.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Live cattle traded higher on Thursday due to an encouraging weekly export sales report released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and higher boxed beef prices. April live cattle up $1.47 to $188.72. June live cattle up $1.32 to $184.60. August live cattle up $1.10 to $183.50. Feeder cattle traded even to higher on Thursday as demand is still strong, but corn trading higher is likely limiting higher trade. March feeder cattle even at $251.02. April feeder cattle up 42 cents to $256.30. May feeder cattle up 67 cents to $258.45. Boxed beef was higher on Thursday. Choice rose $1.24 to $306.15. Select was up 63 cents to $295.72. Now let's take a look at those livestock auctions. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Jim Wheeler, Atascosa Livestock Exchange, Pledenton. Jim, how was your Tuesday sale?
371, 133 were steers, 78 heifers, 145 cows, 11 bulls. Steer side, 2 to 3 weights, $250 to $4. Heifers were $250 to $340. 3 to 4 weight steers, $240 to $365. Heifers were $235 to $320. 4 to 5 weight steers, $235 to $325. Heifers were $225 to $3. 5 to 6 weight steers, $230 to $312. Heifers were $220 to $260. 6-7 weight steers, $2 to $255. Heifers were $1.90 to $230. 7-8 weight steers, $2 to $240. Heifers were $1.60 to $204. 8-9 weight steers, $1.65 to $216. Heifers were $1.25 to $1.65 there Tuesday.
How about the cow side of it?
$238 on a Packer cow yesterday. Best one brought $1.24. Best bull brought $1.40. Bred cows sold anywhere from $11.50 to $18.75. And we kept two or three pairs together. They brought from $16.75 to $1,800.
Are you aware of anything for this next Tuesday?
Yeah, there's a few, several people ranching down south. One of them said he'd have about 60. The other one said he'd have about 80.
Okay.
crossbred calves. I think he's got Hereford bulls, black bulls, and Charley bulls. So,
well, tell everybody how to get in. Tell everybody how to get in on it.
You reach us at 830-569-2516.
Jim, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you Monday evening.
Thank you.
Neighbor, a quick check of fat cattle says there's some distance between bid and ask. Looks like the bids are 182 to 186. Dressed bids, 290 to 295. I think we need a little bit more. And neighbor, it looks like that's it for today's edition of Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. That was Atascosa Livestock's Jim Wheeler. And you're my neighbor. Neighbor, good day.
Despite a supportive weekly export sales report for pork released by USDA on Thursday, lean hogs traded mixed. April lean hogs down 47 cents to 84.52. May lean hogs up 45 cents to 91.22. Analysts say packers are buying more this week to fill in the gaps in their supply. Block cheese rose 0.25 cents Thursday to $1.49. Barrel cheese fell 8 cents to $1.54. That weakness put pressure on Class 3 milk. March Class 3 milk up 6 cents to $16.59 a hundredweight. April Class 3 milk down 4 cents to $15.96. Cotton was sharply higher to limit up on Thursday due to speculative buying. May cotton up 400 points to $99.28. July cotton up 379 points to $97.78. December cotton up 104 points to $84.34. Corn traded higher on Thursday on a weaker dollar and increased feed demand from China. March corn up 8 to 426. May corn up 9 and a quarter to 438. September corn up 8 and a half to 456 and a half. March hard red wheat up 18 and a half to 594 and three quarters. May hard red wheat up 18 and a half to 574 and three quarters. July hard red wheat up 14 and three quarters to 561. Soybeans were higher on Thursday on a weaker U.S. dollar. March soybeans up 16 and three quarters to 11.57. April natural gas down 11 cents to $1.81. May natural gas down 11 cents to $1.95. April crude oil fell 30 cents Thursday to $78.83. May crude oil down 19 cents to $78.22 a barrel. Reuters says that gains were limited Thursday by a potential delay in U.S. interest rate cuts. The Dow up 124 points Thursday to 38,785. The S&P 500 up 52 points to 5,157. And the NASDAQ up 252 points to 16,289. Well, that wraps up this look at the markets, and that wraps up this edition of Texas Ag Today. We hope you join us next time for the latest news in Texas agriculture. I'm Jessica Domel, and we hope to see you then.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.